Chapter 20. Lexi heard the scraping of metal on the manhole cover, and the round circle slid back, revealing the glorious blue sky. Nans burst out of the hole before the cover made it all the way off.
Are you all okay?
Lexi could hear Jack's concerned voice as she watched Ruth, Ida, and Helen line up at the metal rungs to make their escape.
Never mind about us, Nan snapped. We need a police car pronto. The perp could be getting away.
Davy's face squinted at Lexi from the manhole opening.
Are you coming out, Baker?
Yeah, but we have to get Kara Lee out first. Lexi pointed to the cart, and Davies aimed her police-issue flashlight in that direction.
Is she alive?
Davies asked.
Yes, of course.
Lexi rolled her eyes.
Okay. I'll get the EMTs to climb down and get her. You come on up.
Lexi cast one last glance at Kara Lee before she started up the ladder. The water lapped at the top of the cart. But what did she care? Kara Lee would have left Lexi to drown. Besides, they'd be down to get her out before the water covered her. Lexi took a deep breath as she emerged from the hole, filling her lungs with glorious fresh air. She squinted, her eyes adjusting to the light. Even though it was almost dusk, it was still so much brighter than inside the tunnel, and it made her eyes hurt. She was tired and cold, but couldn't help but feel incredibly grateful they'd gotten out unscathed. She didn't have much time to enjoy the feeling, though, because a black and white police car skidded to a stop, and Nans sprang into action.
Here's the car, Nans yelled as she hustled toward it. Come on, girls!
Nans opened the back door and hopped in. Somehow, Ruth, Ida, and Helen managed to squeeze themselves in the back with her.
Lexi, get in front,
Nans ordered out the window, her hand waving wildly at the front of the car.
Hurry up!
Lexi cast an uncertain glance at Jack, who shrugged and then gestured to the car as if to say, go ahead. She ran for the car, hopped in the front, and pulled the door to close it. She'd only succeeded in closing it halfway when it was ripped open and Watson Davies swung inside, shoving Lexi over on the bench seat.
To Lexi's bakery. Punch it, Nans yelled.
The car lurched forward in a blaze of red and blue lights, the sirens blaring. As they sped off, Lexi peeked out the side window at Jack, who stared back at her, his lips curled in a smile. Was he shaking his head? She gave him a tentative finger wave, hoping he wouldn't be mad at her for this latest escapade. He answered by blowing her a kiss, and Lexi's heart soared. Surely that was a sign he wasn't mad at her. They squealed around the corner, and Nans tapped the driver on the shoulder.
Turn off the lights and siren, she yelled in his ear. We don't want to warn him off if he's in there.
Davies half turned in the seat to face Nans.
Who are you talking about?
Victor, the man who owns the antique shop. It seems he was in on the 1948 bank robbery. He found us down in the sewer, stole the money, and left us to die.
So, that money really was still down there after all these years?
Yep. And we discovered the identity of the skull and who killed him,
Nan said smugly.
And another skeleton to boot,
Ida added. Davies lifted a brow, and Nans told her how Kara Lee had found the confession in her grandmother's diary and her plan to run Lexi out of business.
I knew she was up to something, Davies said.
Okay, slow down here and park before you get to the antique store,
Nans said.
We don't want to spook him.
The police car pulled to the curb, and they spilled out. Nans crept up to the antique store and peeked in the window.
I don't see anyone in there, she said.
He's probably long gone by now,
Helen answered.
If he's smart, Ruth added.
But we still need to go see what he did to Carolee's brother.
He said he took care of him in Lexi's basement, whatever that means.
Nan started toward the back of the building. Lexi glanced into Victor's antique store as she followed the group to the back.
Did she see a beam of light filtering in from an open door?
It would make sense if Victor left in a hurry. He probably left his back door open. They came around the corner, and Lexi's breath caught in her throat when she saw the back door to her shop practically hanging off the hinges.
What the heck?
Lexi remembered the noise she'd heard when they were in the tunnel and realized it must have been Cara Lee and her brother breaking down the door.
Looks like someone mutilated it with a sledgehammer.
Davies turned to Lexi.
You know, you really should get better security back here with the way you keep getting broken into.
Lexi rushed inside.
Had anything been stolen?
She glanced into the kitchen on her way to the front room. Everything seemed to still be in its place. Luckily, no one had noticed the back door hanging open in the empty bakery and come in to help themselves. She made her way to the back of the bakery, meeting Davies and the other police officer, who were on their way to the basement.
You stay up here until we secure the area, Davies said to her.
Lexi started outside to inspect the door. Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen were standing just inside the back door, craning their necks toward the basement.
Did she say to stay up here?
Ruth asked.
I think so, Ida said, but I want to see what's down there.
Me too.
Helen took a step toward the basement door.
We're old ladies, and we don't hear so good. Maybe we thought she said to come right down.
Ruth, Nance, and Ida tittered as they inched their way toward the basement door. Lexi couldn't help but laugh at the adventurous older ladies as she made her way outside to inspect the damage to the door. The doorknob had been busted clean off. The steel door pocked with dents.
I'll have to buy a new one,
she thought ruefully as she stood staring at it with her arms crossed on her chest.
Meow.
Lexi turned to see Icarus, Victor's orange tiger cat, rubbing his chin against the dumpster. Her heart pinched. Apparently, Victor had taken off and left the cat. Who would care for it now? Lexi squatted down to scratch the cat's head, wondering if Sprinkles might like a furry friend.
Lexi, you coming?
Nance poked her head out the back door.
In a sec.
Lexi listened to the cat purr.
You poor thing, don't worry. I'll make sure you get taken care.
Lexi's words cut off in mid-sentence, her heart jerking in her chest, as a hand shot out from behind the dumpster and clamped over her wrist. She tried to pull away, but was dragged to the other side of the dumpster instead.
Victor!
Geez, the old guy is strong,
Lexi thought as she tried to jerk her wrist free.
That's right,
he said, and Lexi's stomach sank as she felt cold metal against the side of her head. Victor's gun.
You're gonna be my ticket out of here.
Victor shoved her toward his car, which had been hidden behind the dumpster the whole time.
Hold it right there, Victor.
Lexi looked up to see Nan standing about 20 feet away, her hand inside her purse, and her purse held out in front of her, pointed at Victor. Victor pulled Lexi in front of him like a shield, the gun still hard against the side of her head.
I have a gun in here, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Nance gestured with her purse.
I'll shoot a hole right through my purse without even thinking twice.
When did Nance start carrying a gun?
Put it down, or I'll shoot Lexi.
Victor hissed.
Let Lexi go, or I'll shoot you.
Nan stood her ground.
Huh, looks like we're at a stalemate then.
Victor cackled as he shuffled backwards toward the car, pulling Lexi with him and whispering to her.
I'm gonna slide into the car nice and slow, and you're coming in after me. You'll have no choice, since I'll still have the gun to your head.
Lexi saw Nan's eyes widen a fraction of an inch, and then heard a muffled noise behind her. Victor must have heard the noise, too, because he turned his head slightly to look over his shoulder in that direction. Too bad he kept shuffling backward, because by the time he realized the noise was Helen, who had snuck up and crouched behind them on all fours, his legs had hit her and he was falling backwards. Victor let go of Lexi, his arms flailing in the air as he fell. The gun flew out of his hand and clattered on the pavement. Lexi jumped on the gun, while Nance and Helen jumped on Victor, straddling his torso to keep him from getting away.
"What the hell is going on here?"
Davies came around the dumpster, her gun drawn.
"Looks like we captured the bad guy for you," Helen said proudly.
Davy's brows shot up as she studied the scene in front of her. Victor lay on his back on the ground, with Nan sitting on his chest and Helen on his knees. His face turned deeper shades of red as he banged his fists on the ground and mumbled expletives. The orange cat sat 2 feet away, licking his paws and flicking his tail.
"I guess Victor hadn't finished loading his car yet."
Lexi pointed to the late model Dodge behind Victor with its trunk and back seat filled with stacks of money and bars of gold.
"He grabbed me from behind the dumpster. He had a gun and planned to use me as a hostage to get away."
Lexi held the gun out to Davies, who produced a plastic bag from her pocket, holding it open for Lexi to put the gun inside.
"We heard something going on out here and came to Lexi's rescue," Nan said. "I distracted Victor while Helen went around from the back and tripped him up."
Helen and Nan's giggled at Nan's literal explanation.
"Thanks for coming to my rescue," Lexi said to the two older women, then frowned at Nan's. "Since when did you start carrying a gun?"
"I didn't." Nan's looked at her purse. "That whole gun in the purse thing was just a bluff."